All right, guys. Hey, we had a little bit of trouble with our technology this past Thursday, but wanted to come to you guys with a conversation that we're having on Thursday nights. Young adults, if you're listening to this and have never checked out Thursday nights, man, want to invite you to come join us. But I'm getting ready. This is Ethan getting ready to have a conversation with Seth. And so we're going to be talking about some awesome stuff. So we'll jump in.
Yeah, so this past Thursday, we kind of kicked off a new series for young adults. And so kind of just want to get your perspective, Ethan. What was kind of the heartbeat behind this series, and what was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we jumped into a conversation called Lost, and it's 3 weeks, next 3 weeks together. That's what we're going to talk through. And so we're looking at two chapters in Scripture, Luke 14 and Luke 15. And so the whole reason why we're, I guess, doing Lost is which was an old TV show. Did you ever see that show?
I've seen clips of it.
Yeah. Somebody sent me the graphic of that saying this should be the graphic for our series, but it's not necessarily an old TV show that we're going off of or anything like that, but it's just a feeling that many of us can have in life in general. But it's a feeling, especially it seems like during Christmas time, that we can often feel just where are we at? Where are we going? What am I supposed to be doing right now? I just kind of feel lost, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have it as young adults, I think. I think people struggle with it in their 60s and don't even realize they don't know how to put words to it sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think young, like high school, I remember struggling, just feeling lost in high school all the time, or even middle school, just kind of walking around. It's this feeling that goes kind of all throughout our life. And this series, what we just said, I kind of opened it up. The whole point of the series is a series in a sentence is just, if I feel, if I'm lost with God, I'll always feel lost in life. And I think that's so true. Like, I've gotten the chance to see so many of my friends, so many different people I get the chance to chat with, people you probably know too, like you in different work environments that you've been in, or school environments, or whatever the case. So you just meet people and you're like, man, you just seem a little lost. And when you dig under some of that, it feels like they're lost. With the reason they're lost is a lot of times they have no idea who God is. So yeah, that's kind of the intro to the series in that sense. But when we chatted about it, do you see some of that? Like the, if I'm lost with God, I'm lost in life kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it did take me back a lot to when I graduated high school. I just remember I took a gap year, kind of just worked some different jobs. And I remember looking at even just some of my friends of they maybe had somewhat of a direction for their life. They'd go to college or whatever, and we'd see each other over break, and we would kind of just still talk about this idea of like, I have no clue what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Like I'm in college, or I have plans. I don't know if that plan's right. And so I think for a lot of people, it's like you kind of have these set ideas or maybe expectations for your life or where you're going or where God has you. But there's just kind of like this shakiness with it where you're like, I don't know if this is actually where God has me. And so you kind of can get lost in trying to figure out, like, is this actually what God has for me? Is this, am I maybe tricking myself into thinking this is what God has for me? And so I think this conversation just kind of refreshing. It kind of gets to the motives of like, man, am I trying to figure out my life, or am I trying to figure out how to have a relationship with God? And so I think for me, even especially as you were talking on Thursday, is like extremely refreshing, just kind of getting that like, what am I doing with my life? And it kind of gets to the motives of what I'm searching for. And so maybe I'm lost because I'm searching for the wrong thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's something key to what you said. I think we kind of talked about this on Thursday, but if I feel lost, what I do is if I'm lost with God, usually what I do is I try to figure out my life on my own. So I'll figure out God later. This is what I kept saying is we kind of go, I'll figure out God later once I figure out my life first. Yep. And the irony of it is you'll never figure out your life until you figure out God. And so we kind of talked about that. But what can happen, and I think that time when you first graduate, some of you have just graduated, and then some of you have been graduated for a couple of years now. But when you first graduate, the temptation can be, I gotta know what I'm doing in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I overcompensate in a way that's like, oh, I definitely know. I know exactly. I got the 9-step plan of mm-hmm. where I'm going with my whole life. And I'm gonna go to college. After college, I'm gonna study this for 6 years, and then I'm gonna get married, and then we're gonna have 3 kids, and then mm-hmm. I'm gonna get the job the promotion and all the things. Yeah. So we have this whole map for our life. We get more and more confident in that. Then all of a sudden, it's really disorienting 6 months in when you're like, "Hey, I have no idea what I'm doing." Mm-hmm. And you said that I took a gap year too, and so that gap year, I remember sitting there thinking, "Man, all my friends know what they're doing." 6 months into that gap year, talking with my buddies on breaks or whatever, I'm like, I don't think they know what they're doing, but they're almost overly confident in it and being blind, you know, mm-hmm. like or whatever the case. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Sure. And so you kind of said at the beginning, the series is looking at 2 different chapters in the Bible. So yeah. Looking at Luke 14, Luke 15. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to get kind of a glimpse into what Thursday looked like. So we were in Luke 14. Mm-hmm. Talk through kind of the story that Jesus kind of tells in Luke 14.
Yeah. Yeah, so well, I think what helps is to get some context. If you go, you should just go read it, like anybody listening, just go read it. But Luke 14, Jesus is at a dinner. He's at a dinner with a bunch of religious leaders and religious people, and they're kind of, they got their eye on him. Like, he's gaining traction in his ministry, which for them made them really insecure, made them really frustrated, and you can think of it like that. But then at the same time, they're like trying to be good leaders, and so they're a little nervous about what's going on, because they're like, well, what's this guy teaching? So they have him over to the house, they got their eye on him, and Jesus starts looking at these guys, and he just starts making really uncomfortable comments at a dinner. So he just kind of opened that way, where you're like, I don't know if you've ever sat at a dinner. I remember one when Kimmy and I were early dating, we were meeting some family, and it was just awkward. And we just got confronted on some things, or it was just awkward. You're like, I do not want to be here right now. And I just imagine that's the scene that we're dropping into. And Jesus has kind of made some comments about how the religious leaders aren't doing a very good job. They're not caring for the poor. They're not caring for people well. And then Jesus decides to go into a story. Before that, it's kind of funny. If you go read it in Luke 14, I think it's verse 15, one of the guys says something real spiritual. And he's like, blessed is he who eats in the kingdom of God, right? Yeah. You know, you're like, what is that about? And sometimes I read the Bible, I just got to read it with some humor. I'm like, I bet you he was just uncomfortable in this moment. So he's just like, let me say whatever. Like, mm-hmm. And Jesus kind of slightly ignores it and says, well, why don't I tell you a story? So he goes into the story, and he starts telling how this certain man is throwing a party. And he's throwing this dinner, this banquet that people are going to come to that he's invited. And he sent out an invitation, and he already got responses. He sent out, like, the save the date. And he gets all these responses back, and people are coming. There's excitement. And this party isn't just a party that's like any other. The scripture seems to indicate that it's like this massive, huge party. It's the party that needs to be topped. Like, every other party you go to after this, is you're just going to keep comparing back to this party. That's the kind of party it's going to be. And it's huge, great, incredible, awesome, fun party. And these people, what happens is a servant goes out to invite the people again. They're like, hey, the party's starting. Like, the music's playing. We got the food out. Like, come enjoy this party. Like, you said you're coming. Come on. It's like me texting you saying, you coming? Like, where you at? And they text back, and they're like, hey, I'm sorry, I can't make it. And the first guy kind of says, well, I can't make it because I just bought a field, and I gotta go check out the property, right? The second guy goes, well, I would love to come. I was planning to come, right? But I just got 5 oxen. I got to go see how they are working. And then the last guy goes, I mean, seems like a really good reason. He says, man, I just got married, right? I can't come. I'd love to come. And so you see this, it's almost like, okay, what's Jesus trying to get at? Well, then the servants come back. They say, hey, they all texted back. And they said, no, they can't make it anymore. And the man who's throwing the party says he becomes angry. And I think he becomes angry not at the people, right? But we just said it this way. Like, he becomes angry because he's throwing a party. I don't know if you've ever done that where you prepared something. And you're like, we're going to do this. It's going to be great. It's all ready to go. And everybody backs out at the last second. You're like, yeah. I'm a little angry too, right? Mm-hmm. Not at them, just upset at kind of circumstance, situation. So the servant, he tells, hey, go to the streets. Go to the people who are blind, lame, poor, begging. Invite them into my party. The servant goes, invites them in, says there's still more room. And the servant goes back out there, like, go to all the highways, the roads, the low country areas, like, go everywhere and get everybody that can. And it's like, we want to fill this party with as many people as possible. And then the story just kind of ends. And you're kind of left there going, what is Jesus getting at here? And so that's kind of the story. I wonder, what were some things we kind of teased out on Thursday, Seth, that from that, like,
yeah,
that we talked about?
Yeah, I think the thing for me that really struck a chord is kind of what you said is each one of those people that receive the RSVP, they get this invite, and then they kind of politely excuse themselves from the party. Mm. And so when you think of Jesus is trying to say the person who invited them to the party is God, right? Like, he's the one throwing the banquet. He's the one throwing the party. And so you said this on Thursday, and it struck a chord with me, and I've actually thought about it a lot, is that we can politely excuse ourselves from God's party. Mm. That God might be trying to do something in our lives, and we can repeatedly go back to God and be like, oh, God, I know you have something good for me. I know you have good plans. I know that you've kind of set this party up, but I'm going to go over here because I would love to spend my evening watching Stranger Things and mm-hmm. not spending time with you or whatever it is. And so it's like, I think for me, I'm like, it's not this enmity that I have for God. It's not that I'm angry at God most of the time. It's just that I can politely excuse myself mm-hmm. from whatever he's doing in my life. And so, and then I wonder why I feel like God's not doing anything, right? And it's like, well, you declined my invite, right? Yeah. Like, and so I think for me, that just helped me kind of put into some words and some pictures of like, wow, I do that to God a lot. Mm. But there's a lot of moments in my life where I'm like, oh, yeah, I've totally removed myself from what God could be doing in that moment. And so I just kind of, I want to ask you this, like, what do you think are some excuses that you think young adults most often make to mm-hmm. God today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we could probably talk about this together because you yep. probably see it too. But I think maybe before I even say the excuses, one, it can be easy for me to equate the party as church. And I don't think that's mm-hmm. what Jesus is trying to say. Like, yep. he's not trying to say, you're making excuses with church and you get back to church, mm-hmm. right? I think it's the party of God's presence. It's heaven. It's this picture.
Yeah,
and the church is going to be in heaven. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, and so does it relate to the church? I remember prepping this week, and I'm like, well, I don't want people to feel like I'm saying, stop making excuses and come to church, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that you expect that. And yet at the same time, I'm like, I don't want them to not feel that, because reality is that there's something energizing about being at the party together in the church with one another who we're like, yeah, we're going to experience eternity together. And us coming together in this way, then we go out and invite others in. So all that to say, I think excuses that I hear, because that was your original question.
Mm-hmm.
I think the ones that I hear most often, I even think of that three paradigm where the three excuses Jesus is revealing is, they're as old as time, man. Like, the one yeah. guy says, I bought a house or I bought some property. And I think he's just trying to climb the corporate ladder. He finally got the dream that he wanted. He finally got the possessions that he was hoping for. So he got the thing that he was longing for of this field. And so he buys the field. He's like, I got to go check it out. The other dude, it's work, right? Work is his excuse. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's just crazy right now. Work's crazy. Yeah. I think one thing it's always funny to me, I get it. I remember doing school, and school was intense. Like, there are times where I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm swimming in this. But school can often be a very, very, very convenient and easy excuse, right? Mm-hmm. That we go, man, I can't come to church. I can't spend time with God. School's just crazy right now. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I can just say this, I mean this out of love, but if you can't figure out how to be with God, enjoy the party in the middle of doing school, you're going to feel it. That school excuse will then become work, which will then become your kids, which then will mm-hmm. become your family, which is what the last guy does, right? Mm-hmm. He says, I just got married. I can't come. And it makes me wonder. I'm like, well, why didn't you know when your wedding was going to be? Like, you said yes to the party at first, and then you forgot, which sounds like a guy, I guess. But there's other times where I'm like, why don't you invite your wife to the party? Like, what would it look like? Like, I've seen some people that when school's crazy, they're like, you know what? I got to get my paper done. So I might come, and I might even bring my laptop to figure out my computer stuff in the middle of different things where I'm like, I don't know if that's the best thing, but at least you're here. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's other times where I'm like, some people are like, hey, I got to leave right at a certain time. So I get home, make sure I'm doing my school. Jesus isn't saying reject your responsibilities. Mm-hmm. I think often if we're really honest, Seth, and maybe you chat about this too, but it's really easy to excuse ourselves from that party because we're obsessed with our little parties. And so it's what you just said. It's the Stranger Things that I spent time with. So the excuse, I can't say, yeah, I just watched 4 episodes of Stranger Things last night and I'm exhausted. So the reason I can't is because I have school today. Well, yeah, it's because you stayed up watching Stranger, whatever show of choice. Or you stayed up playing video games or you stayed too late at a friend's house the night before. And all those things aren't bad, none of them. Mm-hmm. But in excessive amounts like that, now it's crunch time and I have to get school done. Mm-hmm. So I have to make an excuse, like, sorry, I can't. And then you live your whole life making excuses, politely going, I can't spend time with God.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. I love you said in there, like, Jesus isn't saying reject your priorities. Mm. Like, he's just saying you should probably get your priorities in order. Mm-hmm. Like, right? Like, I think that's really what it comes down to in our relationship is this. It's this idea of, like, what we think will help us not feel lost mm-hmm. is figuring out the career or figuring out our schooling or whatever. And so it's like, it comes down to, what am I prioritizing? What do I think is actually going to fulfill that feeling of lostness? And so
it's the lost world screaming, here's how you find life. Mm-hmm. And they haven't found it yet.
Yeah.
And we still believe that lie.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I just got to figure out life and then I'll figure out God. And it's the other way around.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm like, I think for me, the thing is I can cognitively, like, I can understand that, right? That idea of, like, we need to figure out God, our relationship with God, before we figure out our life. But what I find to be difficult is, like, when that rubber meets the road, like, when it's now a normal Tuesday afternoon, mm-hmm. right? Like, how do I break from that mindset of maybe the priority of my career or my schooling or whatever that looks like.
Hmm. Yeah, how do I break from the mindset?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good question, man. I think there's an element of it that I have to, the question that we asked was, am I too familiar with God? That was another question we had. Mm-hmm. I think if I'm too familiar with God, I'll never want to break from the from that mindset, right?
Yeah.
Because God becomes quaint, God becomes boring, God becomes cute, God becomes this thing that will always be there until he's not. Hmm. When I look at the Bible, I'm like, the last thing I think of is God being boring. Hmm. Like, we have a very wild, all-consuming, jealous fire that Scripture talks about, that you're like, God, try and wrap your brain around God. Like, you're trying to get your brain around accounting right now or physics in school, mm-hmm. and you're like, man, I'm struggling with it, but it's engaging and I'm really focused here and it's just, I'm passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, try and understand the one who made all of that mm-hmm. and who gets it fully and completely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not boring. So like, mm-hmm. I think we get too familiar. We can grow up in a church setting or we can get, just kind of go through the motions of it where God all of a sudden becomes this familiar guy who's kind of like my buddy, who's kind of like my heavenly homeboy in some sense, where he's all of a sudden lost his wonder. He's lost his awe. He's lost his power in our life. And so we just kind of stay in our excuses. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a awakening where I got to see who God, who he really is. Mm-hmm. And then I think, and I'll flip it back on you because I'm curious if you have thoughts.
Yeah.
I think maybe the other way to break out of it is when I'm in community with others, they help pull me out of it.
Yeah.
So like when I'm making lame excuses, I've had people call me and go, that's dumb. Mm-hmm. Get over here. Come on, man. Like this is really what you want more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And so I think the community, the body, the other people that are like, hey, I'm following after Jesus and he's exciting and he's everything. He's what it's all about. He's where we're all headed towards. Like, this is an eternal party. It's not a little cute party that we're playing down here. Like,
yeah,
it's forever and always kind of thing. So,
yeah,
come on, man. You know?
Yeah. No, I think for sure. I think for me, even students, like, there are times where I'll have a conversation with a student kind of newer in their relationship with Jesus, figuring things out.
Yeah.
And there's things that are, like, clicking to them that you're like, yeah, that's just kind of same old, same old. Like, I've known that. And then it's seeing it through a fresh perspective of like, oh, you didn't know that. Mm. And then it's like this kind of awe-inspiring moment for me. I'm like, wow, I've become too familiar with what God's doing. And I think a lot of it stems from this idea of like, I don't know, this is kind of plugging a little bit what we're doing Sunday mornings, but it's like, if I don't know the story of God, if I don't know what God's been doing, then I don't know how to play my role. And so, like Dan's talked about this before, it's like showing up in the middle of a Broadway play, and I have no clue what I'm doing, and I'm on the stage, right? It's like, that's why we feel lost, is because we don't know what is our part to play in this whole story. And so we think that we need to fill in the gaps, where God's actually given us a script. He said, hey, this is how we should live a life that's fulfilling. And so I think for me, it's reminding myself of like, okay, Jesus has me here for a purpose, for a distinct reason on this slice of dirt in 2025. And I think for a lot of young adults, it's like, how can I know what Jesus wants me to do? It's kind of the question. And it's like, if I can figure out that Jesus is saying, I want you to be with me. I want you to be aware of my presence with you. And I want you to walk with me, that I have a plan for you. I've got purposes. So I think for me, it's like I need to remind myself of the story that God's writing and find my place in that story, not write my own story and find where God fits into it. And I think for a lot of young adults, it can be really tempting because it's like, all right, I have this freedom. And so now let me kind of craft something that maybe feels comfortable or maybe feels easy. And so what can happen is we become complacent with our relationship with God too. And so I think a lot of it comes with, I kind of want control of my life, control of maybe my routines. And so it's like, it kind of coming back to that idea of like, we think we need to figure out our life before we figure out God.
I think you made a couple good points, like really good points, like staying around young believers, all of a sudden you get energized in a different way that you're like, wow. And that's what I always get nervous about is when it's, the other way around, where we're like, I just need to be around people that like really know God or love God or are at the same level of maturity that I'm at. And I think that's an immature person talking. And the reason I think that is because I think mature people get around immature people. And the reason I know that is because of parenting, where my boys, I don't complain that my boys are the most immature, and they are. But you know what? When I'm around them, it matures me. It grows me because I realize I need to be mature. I can't be acting like a two-year-old. So I think there's so much power in that. And then you ask the question we all ask that we feel lost. Like, what do you want me to do, God? Like, where do you want me to be? And I think we got to flip the question a little bit and go, how am I doing at what I know God's already asked me to do?
Yeah.
Like when, and I won't ever know what he's asked me to do if I never am dialed in with his word, if I'm never dialed in with a community of people that are chasing after Jesus together, that are opening his word together.
Hmm.
So, yeah, no, I thought that was really good, man.
Yeah. And even adding on a little piece of that is, like, I think the reason that we can become maybe stagnant or kind of our relationship with God becomes stale is because we're not telling anybody about him.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not reminded of what God can do in a person's life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can forget what God's done in our lives, but then we don't see him doing it in others because mm-hmm. we're not sharing it with people. And so it's like, I think sometimes I limit God's power by assuming he won't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm not hungry to see God do something, not only in my life, but actually in the lives of others, that I think that actually awakens our faith in a way that goes beyond us, because mm-hmm. in all reality, our life isn't about us. And so I think the getting outside of yourself, seeing what, God, what do you want me to do today? Like Jesus, I'm like, so much of his life is spent, how can I serve the people around me? He goes mm-hmm. from town to town, right? And I'm like, I think a lot of my relationship when I look back over the course of my life is I'm stale and I'm stagnant because I'm not hungry to see what God is doing in people's lives.
Mm.
And I'm not seeking what he wants me to do.
Which is how Jesus lands the story. He tells them, go out and compel them to come in,
mm-hmm.
right? Go to the roads, go to the highways, go everywhere and compel them, which literally the word he uses, it's been a misused passage all throughout history in lots of different ways, but the word he uses, compel, it's kind of this forceful, grab their attention, seize them, right? Like, which is why people demand Christianity as the national religion of mm-hmm. a place, which is why people come in and Christianity has been called like white man's religion, which is not true. It didn't start mm-hmm. in America, but what happens is we can command with force to like make people into Christians, and mm-hmm. what we mean is really make them into like us and think like us and have the same values, Christian values, or whatever, like us. Where really, it's this question of: am I living a life? And am I using my words and my actions that's compelling to people, mm-hmm. where people are like, my life grabs their attention in the best of ways. It doesn't force, it like forces them to look, not to me because I'm so awesome, but it forces them to look because they're like, something's different in you. Like God is at work in you and I can't stop. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but like, for me, there's people in my life that I can think of, and I'm like, their life is compelling.
Mm-hmm.
I hope one day that I get to live a life that's as compelling as they're living, or what it looks like. Like, they live their days in such a way that it forces me to, it grabs my attention, it seizes my attention, where I'm like, man, I hope I live a life that compelling. And I think for the followers of Jesus, we have to have a higher call. Like, sometimes we can go, what's the bare minimum to follow God?
Hmm.
And Jesus is like, no, I want you to live a life that is compelling so that others would look in and go, man, I want what you have.
Hmm.
I don't want to be exactly like you. I'm not trying to be a carbon copy, but you have something beautiful, and I think it's God working in you, and I want that.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. That's huge. I'm like, I think there can be a lot of times, too, where people are like, even with how they share the gospel, can kind of have this same mindset of like, I got to get my ducks in a row. Like, I've got to get this stuff figured out. Like, my life needs to be kind of set up. I need to have a good career path. I need to have my feet under me. And I need to be a Christian for about 5 years before I can even kind of talk about it. Like, there's this assumption that like, I need to be this mature believer or have all these things.
Mm.
And it's like, I think what you do when you're saying that is you're saying, oh, God, I don't think you can use me, right? It's less of a statement about yourself. It's more a statement about the power of God in your life. And I'm like, when I see just how Jesus kind of talks at the end there, Luke 14, it's like, he's like, your life should be compelling. Yeah. Like, but also God is compelling.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. It's not just your life. It's God in your life that mm-hmm. they're seeing that's compelling. And so it's the, am I relying on myself for my own image
mm-hmm.
When I talk to people about Jesus or when I think about that? Or am I relying on Jesus, that, mm-hmm. like, Jesus is compelling? And
yeah, because there's something about old people where you're like, man, you've lived a life that's so compelling. But there's something about young people that just come to know Jesus, or anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a friend of mine who I'm thinking of, he's probably in his 40s or whatever, lived a life of just addiction, and came to Christ within the last 2 years. And to just see his faith grow, I'm like, it's so compelling. I've been following Jesus a whole lot longer than he has. But when you see somebody's life go from death to life, from the grave and addiction to sin, loss, pain, all the way to joy, peace that's unexplainable only because of God in their life, Jesus Christ working his power, you're like, oh, man, that's compelling. And yeah, I think that's a really good understanding of it. It's like he's the one who's got to be the compelling that's working in me. Am I allowing him to work, or am I politely excusing myself all the time from his party to even allow his joy to be in me, to his work to be in me, is all those things. Yeah. It's good, man. It's been fun having a conversation with you on that, like this.
Yeah. It's been refreshing kind of thinking through what God is kind of teaching through Luke 14.
Yeah. So this next week, we're going to actually look at the next part of Luke 14, which is kind of throughout the series, 3 weeks long together, lost in excuses, is what we can get lost in, and that was last week. We get lost in the cost of what it means to follow Jesus. And so what I mean by that is sometimes we're like, man, I don't know if it's worth following him because it's pretty costly. Like, he asks a lot. And you read the end of Luke 14, and he asks more than you think. It is way costly. But I think where we're going to land is it's way more costly to not follow him, right? And then the last week there, we're just going to look at Luke 15, which is they're lost. It's the three parables, three stories of lost things. And so there's a lost coin, there's lost sheep, lost sons, and there's joy that's found. And so they are lost because of they lose the relationship, and so so that's kind of where the series is going. That's where we're excited to go, but
yeah,
it'll be fun.
Yeah, excited to kind of walk through this together. But
and then it'll be Christmas.
Oh man,
and then the New Year. So come join us. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll see you Thursday.